Be a good time to silence our cell phones. It's obviously noticed that Commissioner Gilman is not in attendance today. He's recently had some back surgery, and he's in contact with staff, but he's just unable to sit for lengthy meetings like this. So he's gonna be out for a couple of meetings probably. So which will work out fine. We have our next scheduled meeting the second Tuesday in February. The first Tuesday in March is canceled because Commissioner Chevagan, myself, and County Manager Witten will be in Washington lobbying for residents of Story County. So we'll start off with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And item three, a discussion and possible action on the approval of the agenda for today's date, February the 4th, 2014. Mark?
Mark Joseph Phillips, resident of Virginia City. It's Tuesday, February the 4th, 2014. This is discussion before the approval of today's agenda. For February 4th, 2014. Boy, under consent agenda, I have some concerns about these claims. I'd like to discuss them before out of the consent agenda. And in the absence of Commissioner Gilman, when we get to item number 19, second readings, I and J, there's the Mustang Ranch Imbrifium, LLC. It says restaurant and retail, but I've seen posters up about a steakhouse and saloon. I see nothing here about approving a liquor license. So now would be a good time to bring that up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. So you want to pull item four out? Talk about it separately?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so
if there's no other discussion on that, motion to approve with the changes noted.
So I'll second that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, at this time, I'd like to, we're going to move up item 10. And this is a discussion of possible action of the appointment of the broker of record. So, did you have Austin? Austin, would you like to start? Austin? Come on up.
Good morning, Commissioners, Chairman. Give me one moment here. Thank you. Today, what we have in front of us here is our request to look at our current insurance brokerage services for employee health benefits and other benefits. What we don't have in front of us here is really our insurance coverage. This is going to be the broker that will deal with liaising between the county and providers as well as carriers. And so I just want to give you a very brief background of what had taken place and then provide a background of staff's recommendations. And we do have a couple representatives here that have come from our recommended insurance broker. We did post a position from December 26 to January 24 around the region. We include the Reno Gazette Journal, the Nevada Appeal, the Comstock Chronicle, the website, and a few other postings for insurance brokerage services. And so we had five submittals. One of them was not qualified, so we went ahead and interviewed personally four of the qualified submittals. They included A&H Insurance Services, that's our existing broker, ACH Insurance, Ingalls & Associates, LP Insurance, and Dillon Insurance. We went ahead and interviewed them and asked questions regarding the services they would provide, the type of commissions they would provide, or the alternatives to commissions and fee schedules. We asked them questions regarding how they would fit with Story County, the size of Story County, experiences they had with public sector agencies, and things like that. And so in this, we looked at all of the qualifications and the fit with the county, and we recommended that LP Insurance would be the broker of record for Story County. I do want to make a note that A&H Insurance is our current broker. Annetta Fanlow was a person that worked with us for the last 7 years, and she had done a fine job. This is not anything against our person of record for that. It's just that this company came out ahead of A&H Insurance. These are the things that we found with LP Insurance and the reason they were the most qualified. Their public sector experience was beyond those that applied for both small and medium-sized organizations. If you really look at us, we're quote-unquote a large organization because we have more than 100 or more than 50 employees and more than 100 cases for health and other services. Their education and qualifications were very good for this type of work. Their organizational diversity stood out from the others, their depth of succession. And to give an example how that was really good is Kevin here would be our primary person that we work with. It's very important that we do have a person that we can call. We don't want some kind of a company where you'd be in an automated system and all that. With us, both myself as well as our key staff and even our employees, I can call Kevin directly and say, I have a question about my health insurance services. I have a question about my provider. My provider is not talking to my carrier. My carrier is not talking to my provider. Complicated things like that. I may have questions regarding the Affordable Care Act and how to implement that with regard to whatever HR matter. And this is a person that I can go to directly and talk to. And their resources they have when they're in the organization are also key. So when myself or an employee talks to Kevin, they have two attorneys on staff. One attorney deals with HR matters. One attorney deals with ACH or ACA and health benefits matters. They have other key staff and a team approach in their organization that they can get together and work with each other to come up with the best possible answer for us on how to deal with something that could be potentially litigious or something that could be compliant with the law or not compliant with the law. And that was one of the key aspects that this company had over the others. Their resources I just talked about, they're a strategic planning type of organization. They look at not just during open enrollment, which is going to take place between now and May 1st. Some insurance companies will go and say, okay, we're going to deal with you guys in open enrollment to make sure you get the best premiums, make sure you get the best provisions from your carriers, meaning your insurance companies. These guys are very clear that throughout the entire year, they will assess our trends and patterns of services, our trends and patterns with claims, and then they'll be able throughout the year to be able to help us plan for that next year and already know what our potential costs, our potential increases or decreases in premiums and things like that may be. And they have the team and the resources to be able to do that. The leverage to foster competitive bidding is really an integral part of this process to be able to get these carriers out there, such as St. Mary's or Anthem, Blue Cross, or whatever, that says this is going to be what our rate is. They have the resources to be able to leverage and try to get these carriers to play against each other to try to get the lowest possible premiums for the county. And adaptability and accessibility, I think, really was a key element as well, is fitting in with Story County. They are a local organization. We felt that a smaller organization would be a good fit for Story County. They're based out of Reno. They have a lot of history from how they got to where they are, and they have really become a very fast-growing organization in Northern Nevada and have been very competitive in Northern Nevada. So that's my summary. I'm welcome to any questions or concerns you might have, and I'm also happy to hand the table over to the prospective applicant.
Mr. Shebigan.
I have no questions for him.
I don't have any questions for you either. We've pretty much talked about this prior to today's meeting, so if these gentlemen would like to come up and give a little brief synopsis. The audience is very interested in what you have to say as well.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us, first of all. Thank you, Austin, for a nice summary there.
Kevin, you'll need to state your name into the record.
Kevin Monahan with LP Insurance Services. So thank you again to everybody. Well said on the summary. I think you did a very good job. We also thank everyone who we competed against in this process, because we understand that there was a stiff field of competition who we were up against. And while we're ultimately glad that we came out on top, we certainly appreciate the competition. And so we're going to hit the ground running as soon as today, as soon as we get out of this meeting, to make sure that we get to work for Story County, making sure that the taxpayer money that's going towards these costs is managed very aggressively. And we'll do our best to do that at all times. And I grew up down the road a little bit at the top of Toll Road, for those of you that are familiar. So I'm honored to be working with the county and a part of the operation up here. And I know Tom is as well. Tom's going to be a regular part of the team. So thank you guys very much. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Otherwise, we'll get out of your guys' hair.
And I might just chime in. This was a easy but very difficult decision. Kevin mentioned the competition. You know, Annetta has served this county loyally and faithfully for over 7 years. And her predecessor and our current all-risk manager, Carol Ingalls with Ingalls LLC, was also definitely in that last hunt when we boiled everything down. But it is, in essence, everything Austin outlined. There's so much not being said that factored into this decision. Tom's background, amongst many other things, is serving over 28 years with the Washoe County School District as their risk manager. So these are experienced pros that if we didn't rely on and didn't turn to, particularly with their depth and array of things, they're going to be on site hopefully once a month with our employees to either look at orientation issues and or any claims issues, meeting with us very frequently to project future rates, not just, you know, come February, but do it as best they can with their in-house actuaries as far as what our claims experiences are. So definitely at the top of it, definitely it's nice to have three great ones to pick from.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Pat. Okay, thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks.
You have to prove it first.
Okay. Any discussion on this? At this time, call for a motion to approve the broker of record.
Yeah, I'll look over all of the data that Austin sent, and I think we would move that we accept the committee's recommendations on this, and thank you very much.
And I'll second your motion. And moved and seconded to approve LP as the new broker of record for Story County. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, gentlemen. So we want to go back to item four?
Sure.
Am I correct on this?
Yes.
Okay. For your guidance. Mark, you wanted to talk about item four? Come on up, sir.
Again, for the record, Mark Phillips, Story County resident. This is discussion before action on item number four, which is approval of paycheck accounts, payables. I really appreciate Mr. Witten acknowledging my concern of the Liquid Blue contract and how it was written. Under correspondence, item number 21, I got Mr. Witten's attention. He thought I made a good point, maybe some talk with the DA about Liquid Blue's contract. But under claims today is a claim for $25,000 in county monies going to Liquid Blue. I would ask the commissioners to put a hold on that claim and until our district attorney can have a look at the contract. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I can weigh in. Again, clearly, although we use words like hybrid and we blend things together as we look at this, the Virginia City Tourism Commission is a separate government as identified by taxation.
Yep.
Their board has approved payment of these, I believe, or they would not be presented. I don't follow the VCTC business, and Denny's over in California. He had a brand new granddaughter delivered yesterday. But I would tell you these are routine bills that our comptroller's office processes for the VCTC and does review those. We have reviewed the contract, and we are working with Mr. Morris on an amended contract that will be presented before the VCTC to correct those errors.
I don't think we would have any authority to withhold payment. It's been authorized through the Tourism Commission.
I have a question. Nicole.
Come on up, Ms. Bard.
Nicole Bard, Highlands resident, Stewart County. The bills are getting paid out of the county's coffers?
No.
No. They're VCTC revenues generated.
Do they have a separate budget?
Yeah.
Yes.
Separate budget part, yes, they do.
Is it segregated from the Story County general fund and or other funds?
Yes, it's a separate fund.
So there's no way for us to tell if when you make a disbursement, they are, it's to the extent that it's coming out of their budget, if, for example, their budget were to go to zero. Let's pretend that they ran out of money in their budget and these bills come due. Who pays for it? Their budget is now zero. Who pays those bills? If you're just a third party...
You're talking about a what-if scenario, which...
I'm asking the question, are any county monies going to pay for VCTC that isn't in their budget?
No.
No.
For sure.
Yes. County monies do go. We give them portions that are approved as part of our budget process each year, but it's in our budget and their budget.
So the quarter cent sales tax revenue that they get is what funds their budget?
In part along with room tax and along with portions of business licenses in Virginia City and Gold Hill.
Okay, so this should be visible at the VCTC board meetings when they review their budget.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, fine. Because if it shows up on your disbursements and it looks like it's our tax monies, not theirs, they're getting paid out.
Correct. Okay. Yep. Any other discussion on this? So I move for approval of item 4.
So moved.
I'll second it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Now we're the consent agenda.
That's the end of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so item number 5 is also.
We already approved the consent agenda, did we not?
No.
Didn't we?
No, we did not approve the remainder of the
consent agenda. Okay, all right. Okay, now next item up is the consent agenda, which all is left in there, I think, are the first readings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Motion to approve, if there's no further comment.
Any discussion on item 5? Okay. But a motion, I'll second it. It's been moved and seconded for approval of item 5, the consent agenda.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 6, staff reports. Anyone on staff that needs to get out of here for another meeting or has anything else pressing? Okay.
Me.
Why don't we?
Me.
No, you're staying here. You're staying here with me.
I have some things to do, so.
Yeah, okay. We have a representative from St. Mary's Art Center, Francis Melhoff. You're here today. Would you like to come up and tell us what you have to say today? Do you want to identify yourself at the podium, please?
Yeah, I'd like to introduce Francis to everyone. She's our new director at St. Mary's Art Center, doing a bang-up job for us down there.
Thank you very much.
And,
I'm... the running juggler at the moment. It's a huge trajectory that I've set St. Mary's onto. I'm basically trying to open it up to the public a lot more than it has been in the past. I know that it has, in the past, the focus has been on restoration and protection of the building and bringing it back up to, you know, a standard that's safe and usable. I'm now able to come in and work more on the arts side of things and bringing people in, creating workshops, having the building open for proper use and, you know, things that will actually engage the public and enrich the community. I have artists, I've actually opened up the a program for resident artists who are coming in from all overseas, all over the country, even local as well, where they can spend a month working on their project, and we give them a studio space and support in a bedroom, and they can basically really, really focus on moving their practice forward. So I've opened up a second bedroom on the fourth floor and a second studio space up there as well, so we can actually have two artists permanently on a rotating basis. I think what I also ask them to do is to have an exhibition. We have six gallery spaces now. I wouldn't mind opening up another one. But it means that we have international shows of art as well. I'm trying to keep it really inclusive so that there's local artworks, there is artworks from the state, and there's international and national. So in the six galleries, I'm trying to keep it that we have something from everywhere. And sorry, I wasn't expecting to stand up here, actually. I would like to thank Story County very much for all the support that you have given us in the past, and request that it actually continues. We do have operating costs that are starting to get a lot more significant than they have been in the past, and as we open up, there are kind of security issues and things like that. So there's a lot of projects in the pipeline that we need to kind of address as we bring more people into the building, and I guess that's kind of my guess.
Have you got a price on that elevator yet? Or a guess, just a rough guess?
The rough guess that I was given was about $150,000. So I believe that there's a grant that we can actually apply through OTIS for something like that, which I will be working on. But the fact that we are not completely ADA compliant really, really holds us back, because we can't apply for certain government grants because of that. So the NEA grant, which I was working on, I found out after reading the small print that actually we're not eligible because the whole building isn't ADA compliant. The elevator is a big one. The boiler is a very big issue. We have a grant written for that. We have a grant written for the restoration and repairs on the front terrace, which there's a lot of water coming in into the room downstairs. It's damaging the ceiling and the walls. So, yeah, there are a lot of grants that we've actually written out. There's a lot of other things that which I included in my letter, actually. I can.
Very good.
And I want to add, from a staff perspective, I think with Francis, under Francis's leadership, we've had great directors of this organization in the past kind of come and go and come and go, maybe one or two that maybe weren't so great, but under her leadership and partnered, I believe, still with Virginia Svetic, who's still there kind of on the maintenance and construction side of the house, I've seen this organization make more progress probably in the last 3 months
than I've seen any of our nonprofit partners. And I encourage you to stay.
Thank you.
I encourage you to keep working with us and asking for money, because that's how, obviously, we can't fund an elevator, but we have Sherry Nevin that can certainly help you with anything. We've got experience in elevators, both in the courthouse and at the Fourth Ward School, some of it horrendous. Your mention of Otis, I would say absolutely yes.
Yeah,
if you were to mention another company that I won't, I would say send it to Mr. Maddox for legal review.
Okay.
But anything we can do to help you out is, it's great to see. I think this is going to be, St. Mary's now is poised to potentially be the next Fourth Ward School as far as success and stature.
Thank you very much.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Francis.
Can I just leave some invitations to our next?
Sure. Thank you. You know what? Here.
Reception.
Why don't you leave those out there for everybody to grab, or you can leave my office. We'll get them out.
Next up, we have a couple of representatives from the Mark Twain Community Center. We have Adam Ravello and Laura Cooley here, who would like to.
Good morning. I'm Adam Ravello. I'm the chairman for the Mark Twain Community Center. First thing I'd like to discuss is we recently had a complaint filed against us with the Attorney General for open meeting law.
Welcome to the club.
The first for me. With the help of Bill Maddox, we got word back from the Attorney General that we were they found in our favor. We weren't in violation of the open meeting law. So thank you, Bill, for your help. On to the community center events. We're filling up our calendar. We have currently the Mustang Cares Food Program, Zumba. The Republican Party has used our facility, Wild Horse Foundation, the We Care Food Program. We have a homework program in operation now. We had a family movie night. It wasn't as successful as we'd hoped, but those that did attend enjoyed themselves and commented they'd come back to the next one. So we've also had the school board meetings down there, and we're looking for more people to use it. And with that, I want to touch on some rumors that have been spread around that the community center board was considering revoking or denying use of our facility to one or more of the groups that are currently using our facility. And that is not true at all. We have never had any discussion of eliminating any of the current programs or denying the use. Next on the list, we have the library is coming in soon. And we did a little changing around in our building. We're moving our office into a little office on the corner. Familiar with our facility, it used to be the sheriff's substation. That is going to be our office, and we're letting the library put their facility in the kitchen area. Much more room, and hopefully more books and more people will utilize it. We're beginning some committees for special events. We've got a committee set up so we can participate in all the Virginia City parades. We have Mother's Day tea planned for in May. Laura and Tia are working on that. We're planning a Father's Day event. It was talked about possibly having a carnival. The one carnival outfit I talked to will be actually in Urington in August. So they want to try to coordinate a date in August to do something down there. And after speaking with Denny Dodson, He suggested maybe we do a joint deal with Lyon County and utilize their ballpark right off Six Mile Canyon. It has more parking and a leveler ground to set up for the carnival. So that's still in the planning stage. Continuing with family movie night, there's been discussion of a gentleman's card club. Tia's actually been working on that, and hopefully have some more information in the future. Real soon. And next one to discuss, the board of directors has discussed the position of being a point of liaison for the community with Mark Twain to the commissioners. We feel at this time that our hands are fully occupied in running the community center. We want to focus directly on that. And but although we don't shun the idea of being that liaison in the future, but we want to establish ourselves as a community center first. That's a pretty good hat to wear right now. Keep us hopping. But we welcome any other community members that want to be that liaison to take that part on themselves, use our facility. We're more than happy to work with them in that area. And that's about all I have.
I want to congratulate all of you on your win on your last open meeting law violation.
Thank you.
That was nice to hear. I think yes. Laura had some.
Yes, come on up.
Okay. On March 15th, we're coordinating with Story County, also with Carson Tahoe Hospital and a couple other. We are going to have a health fair. The date's not quite set yet, but Sherry Nevin came to our last business meeting, and Carson City would like to do immunizations down in Mark Twain. So I am working with Carson Tahoe liaison Heidi Eisenhower, and we're going to see if we can have some shared services with them. We're also contacting a lot of vendors down to come. We understand that Fish will hand out coats and things like that. The hospital wants to provide physical therapists to come down and do balance and range of motion for the older adults that live down there. And the other thing, too, is we're excited because we finally got approval from the hospital to do our computers. They're wiping them out now. But we are in desperate need of desks so that we can put the computers on them. We have a space now down there. We've moved things around. And the computers are going to have the internet and a couple of other things, and we've gotten approval of 10. And they're now refurbishing a lot more, so we have an opportunity to get more. But we need some sort of wood or whatever to build some desks that we can put in so we can get these computers into the center so that Teal can use them for our afternoon program for the kids that come in to work on their math and their English and things like that. There's a lot of programs out there also to be able to read through our Story County e-reading thing that we have. So it's just an added note. So any support that you could give us with that, that would be great. So, thanks.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Cooley.
Thanks.
You guys are doing a wonderful job down there.
Yeah.
You've only been up and running for a few months, and you're just making great headway. It's wonderful. Adam mentioned about the library. Pam Abercrombie, do you have something to talk to us today about?
Always.
Pam Abercrombie, Community Chest, for the record. Thank you, Board of Commissioners. We are interviewing this Thursday for the library director. I'm so excited. I know that Mark Twain is chomping at the bit to get their site up and running. We're trying to identify services in Lockwood that the community wants, so I'm meeting with a group of people next week because we don't want to bring in something that they don't want. And if it's something particular, we want to accommodate our services to their needs. So I'm working with that at Lockwood. And then for a community chest update, Sean has been missing the meetings because he teaches at the prison on Tuesdays, and this fall he's going to change that schedule so that he can come before you guys again. We are making real progress towards the second phase of the community center. We've got two gifts secured, and we're looking for two more so that we can finish the community center down on Carson Road. And then also I'll be meeting with Denny and Sherry Nevin on Wednesday. We're going to help out with the rummage sale and free dump day. And the piece I really want to tie in is bringing in our Global Voice youth to help clean up yards for the elders and the disabled so that we can pull their stuff out, get their yards cleaned, and then the free dump day come and clean it out. So that's just a little update from Community Chest. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Pam.
Thanks, Pam.
Next up, Sherry Nevin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sherry Nevin for the record. Thank you to Laura and Adam for their great efforts down in Mark Twain. I attended their meeting on January 15th. Great group of folks, pretty decent attendance as well. So as she mentioned, I am working with them on the health fair, tentatively scheduled for March 15th. Carson City Health and Human Services hopefully will be able to come out and join us that day and provide some either low-cost or no-cost immunizations. Last Wednesday, January 29th, we held a flu shot clinic at the Lockwood Community / Senior Center. We vaccinated 13 folks. That's a small number, but for this late in the season, they thought that was very good. The fire department was also on hand and provided blood pressure checks. I would say we probably had 50 people coming and going throughout the day there. That was the day of their food pantry, so lots of folks in and out. We have received the literature for the NACO dental program. There's some flyers downstairs in the commissioner's office. Basically, what it is it's a discount program for individuals. It's a $59 annual fee, and for a family, it's $69. And they have savings ranging from about 50% on most dental services and procedures. So I'll leave some cards at the back of the room here, and like I said, they also will be available at the commissioner's office. I'm working to get them at both of our senior centers, Lockwood and Virginia City, and then down in Mark Twain as well. I attended the Lockwood Community Center board meeting on January 28th and got acquainted with those folks. They seem to be doing well with their functions. They had a health inspection yesterday for their food program. Sounds like they passed. A couple things we had to take care of, fire extinguisher. We're working to get that taken care of today. With the recent swarm of earthquakes we've had here in Story County, we've been very quiet since Friday, so that's good news. We're hoping that keeps going that way. We're working with some folks at the UNR Seismology Lab to bring them into our communities and do some education, both in the schools and at some of our community groups. So we're still working to get that information together, but I will keep you posted on that as we move forward. As Pam from Community Chest mentioned, we'll be meeting tomorrow to begin the planning for the Keep Story County Clean event to be held in May. I believe that's the first weekend in May. Moving into the grant world, the Commission on Cultural Affairs has announced that they will hold their grant hearings on March 6th. Those will be held in Reno. On February 22nd, I'll be meeting with both Barbara Mackey and Francis from the Art Center, and we'll be refining our presentations. They both have grant applications, so we're going to kind of have one voice going into this hearing, and hopefully we can secure some funds. The project that we have is repair of the roof here in this building. And I've been continuing to do outreach with the various community groups and getting out there and getting to know these folks. I'm happy to have Joanne Skelly here today from the UNR Cooperative Extension. She'll give you a presentation coming up. So that's about all I have for now. If you have any questions for me.
I'm happy. Great job.
Yeah. Thank you, Karen.
Nice to have a good good report.
It is. Very good. From planning, Desi Redmond.
Dusty Redmond, thank you, Chairman. Staff investigated a nuisance complaint located in the Mark Twain on Prospector Road. We are in full force on this one, as it appears they might be buying and selling goods from this location without a business license. If this is the case, they are also in violation of the zoning code. So we are in full force on this one. And I want to thank Mr. Beach for bringing this to our attention. There was a violation on Howard Street. The owner of that house was using their property as a short-term rental. She has sworn up and down to me that they are no longer renting this house out. She also stated that there's not even any furniture or anything in the house, so she's aware that they would need to go through the special use permit process in order to be in compliance. So if you do see any renters there, please do not hesitate to contact me any time of the day or night. Master plan. The staff has toured the cemetery, and we received a copy of their master plan, so we will make sure that our master plan and their master plan are cohesive in the applicable areas. Dean and I attended the Trans-Sierra Coalition workshop. This coalition found commonalities in participating counties, 5 in Nevada, 6 in California, as far as their transportation plans. And so they're drafting the Trans-Sierra Transportation Plan. And that includes Interstate 80 past Tri, so USA Parkway comes into the picture on this one. I am also attending a pictometry conference later this week with other staff members, so I'll report back to you with that and at the next meeting. And that's about all I have. Do you guys have any questions for me? No? Okay, thank you.
Pretty busy. Thank you, Desi.
Yeah. She's made me tired just listening.
Let's see here. Public Works, Mike Nevin. Anything today for us, Mike?
Good morning, Commissioners. Mike Nevin for the record. Who says I'm limited? Bill's going to hit the timer there, so I'll try to make it brief. A couple of items here that I wanted to bring your attention to is I had informed you, of course, at the last meeting that we had lost our street sweeper. It was destroyed by fire. Jasmine Sanchez with ASC has been assigned as the claims adjuster on this insurance claim. I've been working with Jasmine on providing all the necessary documentation and or reports and information regarding the 2000 Elgin sweeper that was lost. At this point, Sierra Appraisal and Adjusting Services in Sparks, Nevada was assigned as the appraiser to determine the actual cash value of the destroyed unit. And late last week, I received word that appraisal with a comparable unit came back at $128,175. And I have been in contact with both Jasmine and Carol Ingalls, who is our broker through Pearl Pack, regarding what I consider to be a low value of the unit. So as of yesterday, ASC has agreed to further research another alternative, even with the possibility that there may be some consideration given to actual replacement costs. So we'll just have to see how this plays out. We did receive an estimate from Elgin Sweeper on a new unit, and a new unit of about the same type of a unit that was lost came in at $243,723. And this pricing is based on special purchase price provided through Elgin Sweepers through the National Joint Powers Alliance Purchase Program for federal, state, and municipalities. So, you know, you can see that 128 versus 243 were off about $115,000. So we'll just, you know, continue to, you know, push hard to see, you know, how best we can resolve it to everybody's satisfaction. In the meantime, any new sweeper that we should purchase, you know, we're looking at a six to seven month lead time for a build out of a unit. So I was going to look at the possibility of a sweeper rental, which I did. That rental price came back quite exorbitant in the amount of about $9,000 per month. And we don't use a sweeper day in and day out 24/7, so I determined that just wasn't going to be in the cards for the county. So I've met with Pat and Hugh, and we've discussed and are in concurrence. It would be better for us to go out and locate a good, used, reliable unit that we could purchase. This would provide us with an additional sweeper, a backup. We'd be able to keep a unit both in the River District and Tri-area, as well as around here in town and for use in Virginia City Highlands and Mark Twain. We've been doing some research and have looked at a couple of units. We located one at a used truck equipment dealer in Sacramento. Went down yesterday, took a look at the unit. It was something that would marry well with what we need, so we did a head-to-toe inspection. I took our shop supervisor, Trent Scaretta, down, and we spent a good 3 hours going through this unit completely. We made a list of things that still needed to be addressed, and they have agreed to accommodate all of our concerns. And so if they get it up and running and ready, we've agreed to purchase it. Myself, Hugh, and Pat set a price not to exceed $40,000. This one came in at $38,500. It's a pretty decent unit. I think it'll last as a backup unit for a long time. A sweeper is a high maintenance unit, so we know that, and you know it has to be taken care of.
We saw the last one and what you did to it.
Right. Just an unforeseen instance. Maybe I'll stay out of the sweepers. I don't know. I wish I could, believe me. To accommodate the purchase, you know, we'll either use some higher than anticipated ending fund balance in the road or shift some monies from the road maintenance account into the equipment acquisition line item. So with any luck, we may have a sweeper that we can use that could be delivered as soon as sometime next week. So just to keep you posted there.
I think he also mentioned that the specs for the new one was going to include an Ansel fire extinguishing system
as well. There you go. I'll have to find out if that is, in fact, an available option. Last Wednesday, I met with a contractor out of the Fernley area, UVT Technologies. Art Gillespie is his name. He does services that include sewer and water type work. He's got several large vector trucks, has the capability to flush and clean culverts. And as you recall from the flood event we had back last June, specifically the heavy damage that occurred along Portovino and Milan in the industrial park, we have several culverts that became clogged with rock and dirt debris. We met on site out there and decided the best course of action would be to dig out both ends of the culverts to a depth of about 4 feet to remove anything that had come down from those upper canyons. That'll give us a working area, and then I want to see how it goes with flushing 2 of the 7 initially. So we've agreed on a price not to exceed on an hourly rate for this project. So if the weather holds, you know, and improves a little bit, we'll be working to get the first 2 of these culverts flushed and cleaned. I'll also be working with the Tri-GID on any use of water that we might need to make this happen. So I'll be sending those folks an email request for some assistance. And then finally, I'll be gone Saturday through next Wednesday. I'll be attending the Future View Conference in San Antonio, Texas, along with other county staff. So hopefully things remain quiet and, while we're all gone, and maybe the weather will be a little bit better in San Antonio for us. We'll see. That's all I have, unless you have a question, Bill.
Mark, have you looked at DRMO for a sweeper?
Yeah, I did, actually. I've been on their website a couple of times. Nothing. If you find one, they're snatched up right away by a federal agency.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So, you know.
Yeah. It's always worth a shot. Pulled millions of dollars out of there over the years.
No, sometimes
you get lucky.
That was one site that we took a good look at, too, and went on it a couple of times. Yeah. Just nothing there at this point.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, yeah, it was under 10 minutes, Hugh. I told you it'd be under 10. Oh, that water faucet down there in Mark Twain, have you got that fixed yet? Dale wanted me to check on that since he's not here today.
That yard hydrant hasn't worked in years and years. We don't use it, so we removed it. So
good.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Good.
It's no, we have no need for it. It was nothing that was tied into the filtration portion of the water system down there. It would be considered raw water, non-potable. So we don't need it, so we went ahead and removed
Excellent.
It.
Excellent.
So, point taken. Had we put a drinking fountain hooked up to that, we'd be liable for anybody getting ill. So, thank you, Mike.
Good. Well, that's one little park problem we don't have to worry
Sorry.
About.
Okay. Administrative Assistant Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Commissioners. I got three items. Now that we have a health insurance broker, we'll begin the health enrollment, open enrollment process. That'll take place between an hour ago and May 1st. So during that time, we're going to be working with our benefits committee that we put together and coming up with the needs and the concerns of our members and communicating that to our broker. Our broker then will be working with the carriers to do the competitive bidding. In that process, we'll also be working on the actual open enrollment process where the employees will come to this room at a point per NRS and actually set themselves up with their insurance of choice and how we set that up. Just so you know, a reminder, on February 20th, there will be a town hall meeting taking place here with the Planning Commission at 6 o'clock at night. And again, that's February 20th. The applicant or the potential applicant for the Crown Point Mill is proposing to reopen that as a vat leaching cyanide processing plant related to mining. And so at this point, staff is not going to take a position publicly. We're going to allow the applicant to come to his town hall meeting, express to the public his plans, and also receive comments and concerns from the public. He's going to give a presentation and all that, and staff will be taking notes and listening, and at that point, developing and doing research to come up with a recommendation or not recommendation if he decides to apply for a special use permit for that facility. And then last but not least, Donna has been working on our well log for the county. She's been putting together a tremendous amount of information from all the building applications that have happened in the last 30 years, all the building permit files, as well as work that Lydia Hammock had done for the last 20 years out in the Highlands. Show that will be a full database with every well in the county. And when data is available, it'll show the gallons per minute of the well, it'll show how deep the well is, show where it's located in relation to other wells, and if that well's been drilled, for example, once, twice, three, or four times. And then what we'll be able to do potentially in the future, not at this exact moment, is take that data and then hand it over to our GIS team, and we may one day actually have an illustrated map showing all of this information where you can see patterns and trends that are happening in particular areas of the county that might help us then prepare in the future for how to deal with those situations and where they need to be dealt with and most immediate. So I want to let you know that will be done by the end of February, and we'll have that data in place, and then we'll be able to continue building that data as we issue or as the state issues well permits.
So anytime anybody gets their well re-drilled, it goes to building, so there is a record on this for each and every well?
Correct. Yeah. The state issues a permit and the building does get a copy of that, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Austin.
Let's see, we have from the fire department today, Chief Ames.
Start the clock before I even got up here, Mr.
Maddox.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, honorable board members. Gary Hames, for the record. I have a few things to talk to you about today. The fuels crew, which I've been talking about for the last, it seems like, months, finally started yesterday. They're chipping the Highlands until the weather clears up and NDOT knows that they won't be plowing. Their next project will be all the dead and dying trees along Geiger Grade, hopefully next week if weather holds. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. The first draft through our wildland fire grant of the Community Wildfire Preparedness Plan was issued last week. I'm going through that. Hopefully have that to you for review within the next couple of weeks. That's going to be the plan that outlines communities at risk ratings. I am happy to say that in the first draft, all of our communities have dropped, so our fuel reduction programs are being effective. We still have a lot more work to do, but they are being effective, so that was really good to see. We're working with the district attorney's office to get a first draft of the 2012 International Fire Code and International Wildland Urban Interface Codes with all the amendments to you for review. I'm meeting with Mr. Morris on Friday, actually, to go through that process. Hopefully that will get to you in the next couple of weeks. We did participate, as Dean did, in the regional code adoption process. There were a few codes that I didn't agree with regionally, such as ingress-egress routes with some of our larger buildings and TRI. So we kind of got their recommendations, whittled that down, and trying to keep that as close to code as possible. We do have a couple amendments in that that increase ingress-egress routes from 250 feet to 400 feet, which was the 2006 code. So we're trying to keep it as similar as we possibly can for new construction, primarily out in TRI. The grant had fuel work for the Highlands within Bonanza, Silverado, some of those one-acre areas within the Highlands community. We applied for the grant, had just one bid to put into the grant. That's all we needed at that time. So we've gone out to bid again. The grant had about $66,000 to complete that one area of project work. One of the vendors, interestingly, we didn't know he was in the Highlands, but is a Highlands resident, has a Highlands company-based fuel reduction program company. When the bids all came back in, his bid was $12,000, roughly. Considerably less than our initial bid. So that bid's been led to him. That work should start within the next 2 weeks, which was great, I think, to keep those funds here locally. I was really happy to see that. We're working on the next fuel grant for next year. One of the things that we're going to look for in that next grant is it's an excavator with a mastication head, so we can do some of these fuel projects in the future by our own crews. Hopefully we can receive that. That's about $118,000 or so. We'll be also asking for another six-person fuels crew to work next winter. Hopefully we're successful as we were this year, next year. Yesterday, we interviewed for the position of fire prevention life safety officer. We had 9 candidates, very good candidates. I was very surprised and happy to see the caliber of personnel that applied for that position. We whittled that down to the number one candidate, offered that position to them this morning. They accepted. They'll be starting next Monday. This person, again, actually is a Highlands resident. I had never met him, didn't even know he lived there. But he has a wealth of knowledge. Comes from the U.S. Forest Service side, law enforcement background, worked for hotshot crews, did some partnership ventures with Cal Fire and U.S. Forest Service on plan reviews, so he's very familiar with plan reviews. When he moved to the Highlands, he left the Forest Service and went into contracting, so he's also a contractor. Brings all that building knowledge to this position. Very happy to get him. His name's David Silva, and he'll be starting Monday. We're working with the Comptroller's Office. I think Mr. Gallagher will probably bring that up under the USDA loan for the ambulance chassis and engines. That's moving along well. That was in the newspaper and has been advertised. Now it has to go to the board for presentation. I'll also be with Mike and several other county staff from the 8th through the 12th in Texas for the pictometry training. I heard Pam mention that they're going to do some community cleanup stuff too, and I just want to throw out there, Pam, if you need help with that, let us know. Our fuels crew can come down and help and bring you trailers, whatever you need, chainsaws, any kind of fuel reduction stuff. Be happy to partner with you on that. We met in December through the Nevada Fire Chiefs Association to start reviewing our statewide fire master mutual aid plan. The plan was written in 83 and then updated again in 1994. The plan's a little antiquated that it's not specific to all risk. It's really specific to a fire issue within the state. So our goal is within this year, this calendar year, to rewrite that plan, which is no easy task because 17 counties and I don't know how many fire districts and city fire departments and county fire departments all have to sign off on this. But our goal is is to get all of our specialized response teams, so all of our hazmat teams will be encumbered in that one master mutual aid plan, all of our technical rescue teams, all of our search and rescue teams. I'm not sure if you're aware, but FEMA team number one is actually at Las Vegas for urban search and rescue. So we want to write that into our master mutual aid plan. We have agreements separate with them now, but we want to encumber that all into one master mutual aid plan. So we'll be working on that over the next, hopefully, 12 months. We can accomplish that. It's a big task, but I think it's past time to get that done. And the last thing is our volunteer recruitment grants is going extremely well. Just to remind you, we have a grant with Smith Valley, North Lyon County, Central, Lyon County, ourselves, and Mason Valley for a SAFER grant. That SAFER grant provides funding for physical exams for new volunteers and the first set of initial PPE for new volunteers. So in the past, we've been fairly limited by revenue to purchase this personal protective equipment. It's very expensive. It's about $2,500 or so. This grant's buying all that for us. So now we can expand from 25 volunteers, and we set the number initially high, thinking 35 would be a good number. We've met that number now, and we actually have four people on a waiting list. So our volunteer recruitment is going extremely well. I'm very happy to report that. And if that wasn't enough, any questions for me? Mr. Schwangen?
I was going to ask you, what do you think about doing a little more grading out on Long Valley, maybe out to about just past Cottonwood?
I'm completely open to that. The primary problem is in spring when we can do that is trying to compete with Mike's project work. There's only one motor grader, and we have to borrow his. Our dozers won't do any of the finished work, as we found. But I'd be happy to talk to Public Works Director and see if we can't partner on that somehow.
That, you know where that stock tank is out there? That, well, someone goes out there all the time, turns that thing on full blast for whatever reason.
That goes
And, of course, it's completely gutted that road out. So to try to get a piece of apparatus through there right now with a fire, not going to happen.
Yeah, I think we could do all the rough work with our dozers, but it's that finish work stuff that we'd have to partner with Public Works. And Mike's been great in the past letting us use his equipment. So.
Just a thought, and I wanted to, while I was thinking about it, it would be get a fire out that way. It'd be pretty tough right now to...
Absolutely, I'm just writing it down.
And that stock tank and that water faucet out there, I don't know what how to make people quit doing that. I go out there about once. I mean, it's just wasting water. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know whose water rights those are.
You know, I'm not sure. I've wondered that too, but I think that's maybe something with Indow, just one of their guzzlers for wildlife. Is what I've kind of.
Yeah, but boy, they turn that thing, and that's got pretty good flow on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just wasting water. It only needs to be just drip, drip, drip to keep that tank full.
I agree.
But it's just destroyed that road. It just, I don't know.
No, we'll absolutely look at that.
Yeah.
I'll talk with Mike and see if we can't do something with the motor grader after we do the roughing work.
Anyway, yeah, take a look at that someday, see what you think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's good to see that you're finding Story County businesses and residents that are qualified to do the work and work for the county.
It's great. Out of the fuels crew as well, I'm sorry I didn't even mention this, but three of the four fuel crew members are all Story County residents.
Great.
We have four applicants for four positions and three were county residents.
Good.
So
that's good.
I was thrilled to see that, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Gary. Out of the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. I have in front of you a timeline of a budget process that we're going to conduct through the final budget, and it is done on the drop-dead dates from the final budget on down. Preliminarily, on February 15th, I'm going to try and have the county revenue projections due. Now, this is pretty aggressive since Department of Taxation has given me absolutely no numbers on ad valorem, whether it's personal or real property taxes. But I think we've got a fairly decent track record, and The assessor's office has some tools available to them that we've looked at in the past to see if we can project the revenue as close as we can. We've been fairly close in the last couple of years, so I think the process is fairly good. What we don't know is what's going to happen in, obviously, in the fiscal year 2015 as far as new projects, new places coming, especially in the industrial park. We may get a reading from that from Dean Haymore and maybe try and schedule that appropriately, but again, we're probably going to be fairly conservative with that. There will be a staff report to you for recommended approval on various changes in business license fees throughout the county, whether it's with the fire department, the business and license bureau, whether the clerk treasurer's office, or maybe the justice court deal. A lot of those things are set by statute, so it's really none of ours. We really can't do anything. But these things have not been done in the prior 12 years. Last year, we were going to try and do it. There was some pushback from our private partners or our public partners in the industrial park that said we had to get their approval for that. This will happen before we come to the board, and so I don't see any necessary, at least haste with that, until the tentative is approved. It may not be until the tentative is approved. It may not be after that, but certainly at that point in time, we've got the time to adjust it between the tentative and final. So our department heads will have their spreadsheets by Friday of this month, or by Friday of this month. They will have until March 1st to get their budgets back in. We're going to do something a little different this year. We're going to send them spreadsheets for which they can then type in the amounts of what they think their budget's going to be by line item, any additional line items they may have. There will be a schedule with that that says that we will, for those people that are on 24/7 and through their departments, a particular emphasis is going to be made on full-time equivalents. We want them to staff the full-time equivalents. This eliminates overtime. And so consequently, they will wherever that is going to be, that payroll part of it will be on full-time equivalents. Our next will be, I will review with each and every department their budget. There will be pluses and minuses, obviously, with that. We will come to a conclusion and then meet with Pat for a final review before the commission approval on April 1st with your recommendations. The tentative is then due to the Department of Taxation on April 15th. We will then have from then till May 20th to take any items that are sitting out there. If there's any major adjustments, either pro or con or up or down, we can then do it at that point in time, make a fairly good decision about what we're going to do, and then present to you the final budget on May 20th. It is not due till Department of Taxation till the 31st, but I'd rather have it done earlier than later. In that conjunction, that is my recommendation. It is certainly subject to change by the Commission, or if time constraints happen, we may have to push this back or at least do something different. But that's my process there. As Chief Hames made an announcement to, this is period something that the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA requires on certain things that we buy. We are now, this is a shot across the bow, that we are going to ask for about $2 million in funding for Chief Hames's emergency fire equipment. This will be a USDA process, and unlike going through something like the wastewater treatment plant, which we started in 1996, I anticipate this getting done in about 3 months versus 15 years. So I look forward to that. We will put that before the board, get started on that, and then we will move forward.
Thank you. Great. Okay, from our sheriff's office, Sheriff Antonaro.
Nothing today,
Mr. Nothing today. Really good.
Oh, that's really all off kilter there.
Yeah. Mr. Maddox?
I don't, you know, aren't you doing some programs at the various senior centers and stuff that, I don't know if they've been announced or not?
I am.
You got to come up.
Well, the Sheriff's Department.
You got to come up. It doesn't capture the reporting.
My voice doesn't travel across the.
Well, it has to be picked up by the recording system.
Okay.
Plus, you have to be on TV.
Oh, great. Ann Langer with the Story County District Attorney's Office. Before I came on with Story County, a gentleman from my office that I worked in before had done guardianships for about 37 years. So we were asked through the Sheriff's Department, and we care, if we could work with them to put some pro bono programs together for the seniors regarding putting together simple wills and power of attorneys regarding medical and financial issues. So we, in November, went down to Lockwood, and it seemed that everybody was very interested in the presentation and asked if we would do it again. So as Bill is a, Mr. Maddox, is a jack of all trades, I guess the Story County District Attorney's Office is the public administrator, so he felt that we could continue with the Sheriff's Office and we care to put on further programs. So on March 19th, Sherry Nevin helped out and put together a very nice flyer that we're going to have the program again regarding putting together the simple wills and the powers of attorney, and I just talked to the gentleman from Mark Twain. We're also going to look at having a program down there in hopefully April or May. So hopefully that'll give everybody an opportunity to get their wills together. And Chief Nevin had talked about a cease and desist order. What is that called? That form that goes along with the seniors when the fire department?
Gary, you're new DNR?
Yeah, the new form that takes the DNR, postal POS, PDL forms.
Right, so we'll be talking about those too, but hopefully we'll get a lot of participation and a lot of seniors will have their wills done. Any questions?
Nope.
Thank you.
Good, Ann. Special Counsel Morse, anything to report?
Nothing there.
From the clerk's office, Ms. Stevens. County manager, Mr. Whitten.
Of course, yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For Mr. Maddox's reference to his acronym abhorrent, DNR is do not resuscitate. That's a common form many of us have filled out, not to be revived or resuscitated. So they've changed the laws, and we've got to be up to date with that. And if you've executed a DNR, apparently it's worthless now. You've got to really work on the new form. Is that what the read was? Also want to clarify Gary's mention of Dave Silva. Sometimes we're criticized for hiring friends and family. Gary did say this very well, but I want to make it abundantly clear. To the best of my knowledge, Mr. Silva is not related to anybody on staff. I don't believe he put that on his application specifically, that he's not related to anybody on staff. And it was the first opportunity the three of us on that interview panel, Austin, Gary, and I had, to meet a great resident from the Highlands. He was head and shoulders the best pick, and we're excited to have him join the team and work with some of the big companies that will be coming in out and try, along with Dean and Lance and Gary and Austin and myself and others that are trying to bring more and more in across the county, but specifically out there. So Dave's going to be a great addition to the team. It was also mentioned by both Gary and Mike that Future View Pictometry Conference, I want to stress that, like I said, there are no costs. Our flight, hotels, and attendance and registration at that conference are all included in our annual fee that we pay to Pictometry. This is the company that flies over the entire county, gives us updates. It is a dynamite partnership that we have through our assessor's office on predominantly using the tech fund fees. Desi's going, so we're sending back a real good contingent of folks back there. Again, really at no additional cost to the county, I guess is the way for me to say it. We get a great product, great support, and I'm glad to see our team coming together for that. Mike mentioned his slate fire with the street sweeper, and I want to stress one more thing that we've done, too, is through Mike and, and Hugh. We've involved our broker of record, Carol Ingalls, with Ingalls LLC, and I'm confident that if anybody can get a better valuation out of her, out of them, it's always difficult to be at odds with your insurance company, but I guess that's the nature of the beast. But if anybody can get a better, more reasonable validation out of them, it's Carol, because I understand before I was involved, she was instrumental in even getting coverage on the public works building out at the Divide when it burnt down. So we've got great insurance players on both sides of the house now. And lastly, Chairman McBride mentioned Commissioner Gilman in his absence. I swear this guy must have come out of recovery with a cell phone in his ear and on the phone. We are still working both on the economic development side and on the county side. Progress is going forward slowly but surely with his two new retail endeavors here. It's like the band isn't even out of play. He apparently only had his back operated on and not his lips or his larynx, because he's working well. So rest assured, he's recovering on target and even a little bit ahead of time, and he'll be back. So
great.
That's it.
Did I miss anybody on staff? Susan, did you have something? No? just enjoying the morning with us all?
She's here for a couple of county contracts.
Okay. If there's no other staff reports, we'll move on to item 7, which is the board comment. Commissioner Shebagian, do you have?
Well, busy as usual, doing a lot of going to meetings all over the state and chasing birds around and wild horses and lawsuits. But the one thing I did want to bring up, we're taking another shot at the zip codes up in the Highlands. Several of the folks up there that volunteered some of their time, and we've got a fired letter off from an attorney that works pro bono for us to the Postmaster General in Las Vegas. I put a brief letter together on company letterhead, and one of the fellows up there dug into the postal code and quoted a lot of their own rules and regs, and so we'll see what happens on. But the it's pretty clear in the postal reg that that the postmaster from the state is the one that's responsible for assigning new zip codes, and that they will make every effort to align zip codes with political boundaries, and in particular where there are extenuating circumstances. And in our case, of course, we know that we have all kinds of problems, sales tax, auto registration, smog checks, homeowners insurance, it goes on and on and on. So we got our fingers crossed. I don't know that I'm really overly hopeful. We've tried so many things, but who knows at this point in time, what do we got to lose?
That's right.
That's about it for me.
Thank you for all your efforts, because this is, I mean, this is a very important thing for a small county, like Story County, to remedy this, because as we grow, in the, especially in the industrial center with the sales tax and with this the internet tax that's, that the federal government's going to push for, the fair, whatever it's called, the internet fairness tax, whatever it is, where everybody who consumes goods in this county, it'd be nice if Story County collected a tax instead of Washoe County.
Yeah. Well, we kind of went in small. If we can get this one to fly, then it gives us a decision to hang our hat on, and maybe we can get something done for the rest of it. So, who knows? Let me take a little.
You bet.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take about a 10-minute recess here, please.